Welcome to episode 15 of the Freedom Experiment. This is your host, Rodney Smith. And today on the show, I talk about monopolies, freedom, liberty. And I speak to Matthew Smith, one of my good friends, and another friend, and his name is Stanley. Stanley is a high schooler that will attend an Ivy League school, which is one of the reasons I wanted to talk to him to see what he's actually learning in school. He's from Arlington Heights, Illinois. It's a affluent town that's about 15, 20 miles west of Chicago. And my friend Matthew, he's from the West Coast out in, Washington, close to Seattle. And he's very knowledgeable about economics and philosophy as well, which is why I like talking to him. And neither one of them heard the interviews of the other. So when you hear these two interviews, I did them separately and they have not heard them yet. And I want everybody to pay close attention to the answers that Stanley gives and pay attention to what Matthew and I talk about in the second interview. And I just want people to decide for themselves if government intervention in our economy is helping people or hurting people. Pay attention to whether or not you think taxes are voluntary or forced. And think about whether or not humans are selfish in nature, and if we are selfish in nature, will we make selfish choices if we're in a governmental position? So just pay attention to those claims and premises that everybody uses to make their arguments. And I hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you again for tuning in. I really appreciate all of the support. Thank you, Stanley, and thank you, Matthew, for agreeing to do the podcast with me. I really appreciate it, guys. So I hope everybody enjoys today's episode. This is Rodney Smith, and I'm out. Okay, I'm here with my friend Stanley. I met him at the gym that's by my house. We work out every day. We play basketball, and we talk. I told him I had a podcast because I know he's going to school next year. He's going to college next year. He's a senior in high school. So I'm just going to let him introduce himself. What's your name?
Stanley.
Where are you from?
Barrington. Go to Barrington High School. I'm a senior.
Are you from Chicago?
Yeah, I was born in Arlington Heights. I moved to Barrington when I was 8. I lived there ever since.
Okay. All right, so I just want to ask you some questions about high school. In history, how many history classes have you taken? History or social studies?
4. Well, I'm in 3.5 because I got half a year left, but yeah.
In your high school history classes or social studies classes, did they tell you anything about governments, different types of governments?
Yeah, they did.
Which ones do you know offhand? Which ones do you remember the types of government?
It's most of them. I mean,
can you name some?
I like China's communist, but it's not like really communist. It's like it used to be, but now it's like more open, like free now. It's like a mix now. Like Soviet Union or Russia used to be communist, but now they're democratic too. There's some socialist ones like in Norway and like Sweden, I think, and most of the rest of the world is democratic.
Okay. And what about their economies? Are they totally free? Like, is the United States a free economy? Is China a free economy?
I think they are, for the most part. I mean,
do you know what the term actually means when people say free economy?
Or
a free market, I should say. Are they true free markets?
Like, you're allowed to, like, start your own business and just, like, try to... It's like laissez-faire, basically, you, like...
Right, laissez-faire. Do you know what that means?
It's like you can run your business without government interference.
There we go. So are there... Do you know of any true free markets?
U.S. is mostly, but the government can still, like, do some stuff to your business.
So do you think something can be half free? Because you said the government kind of does interfere in the U.S. government, so does that mean it's half free? Is there such thing as half free?
Well, yeah, basically, I guess the U.S. is, I won't say half free, it's like 80% free or something. But it's like, well, I think it's like a good thing, though, because like if you get like, you can like have a monopoly, and that wouldn't be good for the economy if like government didn't interfere with that.
Okay, let's talk about monopolies. That's actually the topic of the show today. I was just talking to my friend Matt about natural monopolies. Did you guys cover that in school, a natural monopoly?
Nah, I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Have you heard of Rockefeller before?
Yeah, Rockefeller, yeah.
What do you know about him?
He had Standard Oil. It was like the biggest company like ever, basically, and then the U.S. government broke it up. I think it was Theodore Roosevelt.
So did they tell you that was a monopoly that he had in the oil industry?
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is why they came up with the antitrust laws to break up his company?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, the reason his company got so big was because of what, do you think?
I mean, he was able to, like, he started out, like, as being a smart guy, and then once he had, like, a big business, he could, like, run down his prices, like, lower than, like, the small companies could. He would actually, like, operate for a loss for a bit until he drove the other guys out of business, and then
okay.
Prices back up.
Right, that's what you do with price gouging and price controls, but how was he able to get so big? Like, in general, any company that gets big, what do they have to do to be able to get big?
It's like the horizontal vertical integration, they like control all parts of the business.
Well, I guess what I'm asking, for any company to be successful, they have to have something consumers want, right?
Yeah, oil, like, it was, like, the boom in the industry, so, like, everyone needed oil.
Exactly. So, to become a monopoly, first you got to have a product or a service that people want, correct?
Yeah.
So, once he had something that people wanted, he naturally gained control, a bigger control than other companies, because he had something people wanted, right?
Yeah.
So, is that a bad thing?
I mean, having something that people want, obviously, isn't a bad thing, but if you're, like, running a monopoly and not, like, no competition, then, yeah, it is.
Because I know that's the way people like to spin it, but actually they were, when he had his monopoly, it was 90 other companies actually competing with him. And when he started refining oil, he actually drove down the price of oil so the common man could afford it. So natural monopolies are not a bad thing, because you have to provide a service that people want. Because think about it, if he had a product, let's say nobody needed oil, let's say the country was already using electricity, would he have been able to get a monopoly over oil?
No, definitely.
No, because nobody would buy it, right?
We could still have a monopoly over it, but it would still be a bad monopoly, because no one would still be like a small company either way.
Right, it would be a small company either way. So either way, it really doesn't matter. We really didn't need the government to come in and break up his company. Because what people also didn't know is that, do you know why he couldn't maintain control of the oil market?
It just got too big, basically, right? He couldn't control, no?
No, the geological survey in the early 1930s said there will be no oil found in Texas. And you can tell me what happened in Texas, right? They found oil in Texas, right? You seen all those? Have you heard of the Beverly Hillbillies?
No.
No? Well, it was tons of shows and tons of things that talked about all the oil that was found in Texas. Do you know that Texas still has a big oil market?
I had no idea.
Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, yeah. It was tons of oil in Texas, and the geological survey told people it wouldn't be, so he didn't invest any money in Texas. Okay. He didn't send anybody down there to see if there was going to be oil. So then you have all these other oil companies popping up that could actually compete with him. He only had the control of the market in, like, Ohio and Pennsylvania when he came out. And let's talk about Microsoft. What about them? I know you've heard. Did you know that they were getting sued early on in their existence because they were thought to have some type of monopoly in the computer technology industry?
Yeah, I heard about that.
So apparently there was Microsoft was making computers that would only work on Microsoft software, forcing the consumer to buy all of their products. So if you bought a Microsoft computer, you would have to use all their software, because Apple software wouldn't be compatible with their computers. Do you think that was a bad thing that the government should have stepped in?
I mean, there's good and bad parts to it, I think. Just because they had the monopolies, so it was like bad for like small business people trying to like start new ones, or like other competitions too, like Apple. But like for the consumer itself, it wasn't like terrible.
Right, and for the business person, it wasn't terrible either, because if we're in a free market and somebody makes a computer that only works with their software, that opens up the market for me to make a computer where software is compatible with anybody that makes software, right? Which is what we have today. You don't buy a computer that's incompatible with other people's software, right?
Yeah.
So when somebody is trying to control the market in one way, there's no way that one person can think of every idea possible, which allows another business person to come up with a different idea, kind of like what Apple did when they introduced the iPod. Microsoft didn't think of the iPod, did they? So it allows somebody else to enter the market with a different product or service. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, well, it's not a monopoly anymore. If they enter with like a new thing, they're competing. It wouldn't be a monopoly anymore.
That's what my point is. So there, you don't need a government to step in and break up any company that's successful, because another company could come in with a totally different product.
Well, if it's like a good monopoly, like they got like the interest of the consumer in mind, not just like their own ones. I mean,
right, I see what you're saying. Let's go with that. Okay, if you give me an example. So you do what?
What do you mean?
Give me an example of you saying it, where it would be a bad thing where the government would have to step in.
Like in like Venezuela with Hugo Chavez and his like, well, I think it's oil monopoly there. I know he has like a huge one there, and it's like he like runs the country pretty much, cause like.
Okay, let's put that. That would be a bad example for this, because Venezuela, they don't have a free market like here, do they?
Oh, you mean like a free market?
Yeah, if we're in a free market and.
Well, go ahead. Venezuela is supposedly supposed to be free, but it's definitely not because of like stuff like that.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, the markets will take care of themselves. If you're not in a free market, then of course you need the government to step in, because the business people are already in bed with the politicians lobbying for whatever laws that would benefit their business, right?
Well, yeah. Well, kind of like in Russia, too. Like they got like the oligarchs there.
Exactly. Or any, you know, a corporation is just basically a part of the government, because a corporation exists so it can get limited liabilities for its business owners. So where if I start a business with Microsoft and I hurt a consumer, they can only take my company's asset and not my personal assets.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the business owner really is not going to lose anything but whatever they invested in their company. So I still could be a crazy business person, because I know all I'm going to lose is my business assets. I'm not going to lose any of my personal assets, because the government's going to protect me.
Well, that still is like a big part of like what you have, though, your business assets.
Yeah, but they're going to be separate. I'm going to have my business assets and I'm going to have my personal assets. My company could be worth $3 billion. That doesn't mean in my personal assets I have $3
billion. Yeah, I'm sure.
Do you see what I'm saying? So if I'm a business person, I'm probably going to be more frivolous with my business money than my personal assets. I think that people will be more accountable if their business and personal assets were at stake. What do you think about that?
Yeah, they'd definitely be more accountable, but I still feel like even if they control your business assets, then you're still having a loss either way.
Right, you're still going to have a loss, but which is the more catastrophic loss?
Well, obviously, if you have both, you can lose then just your business.
And if a government is involved, let's say me and you are running a computer software company, and we're here in the United States, and there's a government involved, and to get you out of business, I'm going to use the government to pass some law where I say, you can only sell software on Wednesdays. And let's say Wednesdays is your busiest day, so that's why I lobbied for it. Can you see why the government would really help me out by passing that law? Wouldn't it benefit me to lobby for such a law?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So what if there was no government? Then I would have to naturally compete with you in whatever way I can. I don't have this third party trying to help me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I feel like the government mostly like tries to help out the small businesses, not the big ones, if anything.
Can you give an example?
Like Standard Oil one, like they broke up the biggest company to help out the small guys.
But it ended up helping them. They still stayed big.
In a way, but like.
See, I know, that's what I mean. Like, it's almost like half free, and you know, you say in a way, like. In schools a lot, they don't teach us these things. Did they go over anything? Like, did they teach you how a government is funded?
Nah, it was the lobbyists, right? Pretty much. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sorry. Do you know how a government is funded?
With taxes.
Exactly. All governments are funded by taxes. And who gives the government the taxes?
People.
People and businesses, right? Well, basically just people, because business owners are people too. So, do people voluntarily give their money to the government via taxes?
I mean, depends. Like, I guess like the social contract thing. Like, if the government, by being there, is like entering.
So it's more half yes and
yeah,
half free stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I started this podcast. You know, just to probe people, see what they know about government, see if they agree with the Do you agree with the social contract?
I mean, it's not like 100% good, but I feel like it's like the best system out there, like the most realistic one.
That's what they teach in schools, right? They have, in school, did they teach you about anything that could be better?
Well, ideally, like, if people weren't selfish, I would think communism is actually, like, the best thing. Like, everyone, like, contributes to the government, but, like, since, like, the government's just going to take most of the money and screw the people over, and, like, realistic communism, then obviously doesn't work out.
See, I'm in agreement with you in the fact that everybody is selfish, right? Everybody, you have to be. If you were not selfish and we were just out in the wilderness, you would have to feed yourself first before you could feed anybody else, right?
Well,
so if we were just out in the wilderness and it was just me and you,
yeah,
who would you feed first, somebody else or yourself?
Some random other person?
No, it's just me and you. Are you? And we don't have any food yet, and we just got stranded. Well, how's it gonna? Is it gonna benefit you to feed me? How will you survive?
Well, I feel like it actually be benefit if I feed both of us. If we got food, because then two people is better than one. If we both survive, our chances of survival are greater.
I know the chances of survival are greater, but you still have to eat.
Yeah.
So, at some point, you're going to have to be selfish enough to eat. No matter how much I want your food, you're still going to have to feed yourself, right?
Yeah, but I'm not going to, like, take all the food and give you, like, no food either.
Well, regardless, if you do or you don't, you still need the food to survive.
Well, yeah.
So, this won't change whether, no matter what form of government we're in, we're still, because even in a communist person, no matter what position they are in the government, they still have to do what's best for their political position, correct?
Well, it's not exactly, because...
Right. No, so whose interests do they have to fulfill?
Well, they got to fulfill their own, but they also got to fulfill the people by being part of the government.
But which one do... So do politicians go out and fulfill whatever the people want? Because all people have different wants and needs. So do politicians go out there and figure out what people want? Or do they convince people that what they're about to do is the best so that they save their own butt first?
Kind of both. I don't know.
It's more half-truths and half-free, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, Obama, he wants to, like, he has the interest of the people in mind, but then he has, like, his ideas of how to, like, benefit the people using his ways. Then he wants to, like, back up his own ways, like, ultimately to benefit the people, but he wants to, like, do it using his own method.
But if Obama never did what he thought was best for his self-interest, he would have gotten elected, would he?
Nah, but the reason he wanted to be elected was to help the people out. Otherwise,
right, but, okay, let's give an example. It's about 500,000 people to every representative, right?
Yeah.
How could one person satisfy the needs of 500,000 people?
You can't. You just got to satisfy the majority of people.
Based on whose interests?
People's interests.
But if they can't figure out all 500,000 people's interests, how can they satisfy all those interests? Doesn't he have to choose what he thinks is best?
I guess it's like what he thinks is best for the people.
Right. Right, but it's, like, all based on what he thinks.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is, does the 500,000 people actually run the government, or does the politician actually have a say-so in the government?
Kind of both.
It more half-truths, huh?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go to how a bill is enacted into a law.
Okay.
All right, so does the House of Representatives and the Senate pass laws, or do the people they represent pass the laws?
The House and Senate.
So when do the people get a chance to have a say-so in the laws, then?
When they elect the people.
Exactly, when they elect the people. So the people can't shoot down any laws. It's going to be the House and the Senate, right?
Yeah, unless they get, like, a referendum or something like that, but it's small.
So, right, it's small, but it's the politicians. It's not the people they represent that's in that room deciding which bill or law is going to be passed, right?
Yeah, but the politicians are there because the people chose them to be there.
So. Right, the people chose the people, but the people don't get to choose which laws are going to be enacted or not enacted.
Yeah, but I don't feel like you could have, like, the people choosing the laws all the time, otherwise it'd just be, like, chaos. So this is, like, the best system. Like, even though it doesn't satisfy, like, everyone needs all the time, it's, like, the best, most realistic system out there.
Have you heard of any, in school, did they say anything else about any form of government that could possibly be better?
Well, nah, because they're biased toward the U.S. government, absolutely.
That's what I was getting at, thank you. It's very biased, right? So do you think that gives you an accurate picture of governments and liberty and freedom?
I don't know.
It's hard, right?
Yeah. Because I guess I lived in the U.S. my whole life, so I kind of like, see it as, I guess I'm biased too. I see it as like the best system.
Yeah.
I feel like we're more free than most other countries out there.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the same things when I was in school. That's why I started this podcast, and I started studying myself more about economics and philosophy. And that's really why I'm asking these questions. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just, and when you listen to it, you'll hear everybody else's responses too. Like, it'll be older people on there. I have my parents on there, my grandparents. I asked them similar questions. So thanks, Stanley. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
I know they're biased. I'm trying to like think of like a better system, but I can't really think of a realistic better system than what we have now. That's why I guess we're like the best country.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks, Stanley.
All right. Yeah, thanks. You too.
I'm here with my friend Matt. Matt, what is a natural monopoly?
It's a monopoly where consumers choose which company to patronize and thus have a control of the majority of the market.
Would you consider Microsoft being that in its early stages in development?
Yeah, I think Microsoft definitely opened up the door to personalized computers. They were really the big pioneers towards that, and as a result, people naturally went to Microsoft for products such as personal computers.
Now, back when Microsoft was getting sued for antitrust law violations because they had a computer where you could only install Microsoft product, do you think consumers were at a disadvantage when Microsoft created a computer that only would allow you to use Microsoft software and you couldn't use anything else with it?
I don't think so necessarily. I mean, I know how one could look at that, but when I'm out shopping for a computer, I'm looking for a computer. I'm not thinking about all the additional software that I would install on that computer. And besides, Microsoft really were the pioneers in providing affordable software such as internet browsing and other products that were built into the computer that were at no additional cost to the consumer, which was not how Microsoft's competitors like Apple were actually pushing the market. And there you'd have to buy the computer and then buy the software separately.
Yeah, I totally agree. And going off what you said, if Microsoft chooses to have a computer that only works on Microsoft software, doesn't that open up the market for another type of personal computer?
Yes, it does. In fact, Apple could have built a computer where the consumers could have chosen which types of products they wanted to install on their computer, such as an internet browser, what type they wanted. They could have attracted consumers to Apple by saying, at Apple, you have options, whereas in Microsoft, you get what you pay for.
Right, I agree with you. And going back to a natural monopoly that Microsoft did build, they still could not maintain control of the total computer software technology market because, as we saw, Apple came along and introduced some new products that Microsoft didn't think of. So are natural monopolies a bad thing, and do they last forever?
No, natural monopolies are just part of the natural economic process. And when you allow them a market to control itself, things will naturally correct itself. You know, natural monopolies are not monopolies that are based on conniving, greedy CEOs that are preventing other companies from entering the market. The problem is that when we say the word monopoly, we think of this all-controlling NGO controlling everything, and that's just not the case with natural monopolies.
Yeah, that was the case, especially most people go to Rockefeller and they want to say that he was this evil tyrant that controlled all of the oil market. But once the market played out, he really lost control of the market because there was a geological survey that said no oil would be found in Texas. And guess what? Oil was found in Texas. So what do you think about people using Rockefeller as this bad person that creates a horrible monopoly?
Well, I think that that's completely incorrect because monopoly isn't necessarily horrible. Big business is not bad. In terms of Rockefeller, he really opened up the market for other competitors in terms of pioneering what we call our modern-day oil companies that we are heavily dependent on. I mean, there's a reason why oil is and gas is far cheaper here than it is in Europe, and that's because American companies, which were started by Rockefeller, really pioneered that affordable process for us.
That's right. And just like you stated with Microsoft, creating that natural monopoly allowed people to have personal computers in their homes. What Rockefeller did was allow people to have light at night because he figured out that kerosene could be made from refining oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, we can also even go to Ford when he started introducing mass-produced affordable cars back in the early 1900s. One could say that he had a natural monopoly, but what he did is he created a demand in the market by having cars that were no longer part of what would be considered wealthy or upper class, but would be accessible by mass, by all the masses, and you know, really opened up the automobile market as we see it today.
Yeah, I totally agree. People wouldn't have been able to afford cars. It would still been rich people with the ability to afford a car. So these so-called tyrants and evil monopolies actually drive down prices and allow the common person to purchase these items, right?
Correct. I mean, Walmart is another example. One could say that they have a huge monopoly over, you know, cheap product, but when reality, they're smart business people. They keep their overhead costs low, they buy their products cheap from China, and they do it in mass quantities, so they get a huge discount. You know, Walmart can buy 100,000, HP computers for half the price that their competitor will, because their competitor can't afford to pay for 100,000 of them. You know, so it's just supply and demand. And I'm a personal proponent of supply side economics. I think that if you create the supply, the demand will then follow. And we've seen that throughout history. You make gas more affordable, you make cars more affordable, you create that supply, and the demand, there will be an increasing demand for that product.
So it seems like to me that many people in the government, politicians, talking heads on political shows, they really are taking advantage of people's lack of knowledge of economics. Don't you think so?
Oh, I fully agree with that. I mean, you know, our government is primarily responsible for, you know, socioeconomic class warfare in this country. You know, we want to say that people like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, who have billions and billions of dollars, are somehow the evil person in this relationship, and that's just not the case. You know, Bill Gates is the reason why we all have personal computers in our home, why we've transformed into this hugely technological type of industry and economy. And I just think that people are just severely misguided, because economics is not a simple thing to understand. It can be very complicated, and I think the more complicated the issue is, the more people turn away from it.
Yeah, I totally agree, because I did not come into the world knowing anything about economics. My parents really didn't talk about economics, and in school, only thing I really got from economics was there was a stock market, there were bonds, elasticity, supply and demand, and it just seemed all confusing. They didn't put it in a way that I could understand it, so when I looked at the world, I didn't have a good economical foundation. Therefore, I just made guesses on what I thought people were saying in the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. No, you're totally correct. And you know, it's unfortunate, because you know, most people don't even start learning economics unless they are part of a degree program in college. You know, we don't learn this stuff when we're in high school or middle school. We don't know what taxes mean. We don't know what a business means, or how that impacts our overall economy. We don't talk about monetary policy. You don't talk about those things unless you're going to major in something close to that.
Yeah, I totally agree, because most of the people that I'm around haven't studied economics and don't have a good foundation in economics, and they think the same way I do. They'll just pick whatever the mainstream thought is on a certain topic and roll with it, and they won't have any economic background to reflect upon.
I agree with you. I mean, you know, in terms of government intervention with the economy, it's almost just kind of like you know, another person is choking another person. You know, they think the more they close their hands around that person's neck, that the more they're going to control it. But what they're doing is they're restricting the natural flow of the economy. You know, the economy, government intervention has always been considered bad. Almost any economist, no matter what background they come from, will tell you that government intervention in the economy is bad. And the unfortunate part is that the government takes advantage of the lack of education in terms of basic economic principles by wanting to raise taxes or cut taxes or, you know, patronize a specific company for a military spending project versus another one. You know, it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thanks again, Matt, for being on the show.
No problem.